Welcome to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our series, Uncomfortable. It's safe to say that a lot of people are missing out on the only adventure that really counts in life, walking with God and carrying out His purposes here on earth. And a lot of times, that's because we love our comfort zone. I hope this message challenges and encourages you at the same time. Enjoy!
Hello, New Point. You've picked an incredible day to join us. Because I want to challenge you to get out of your boat. I want to challenge you to get out of your comfort zone. Because I want you to experience the thrill of experiencing the power of God in your life. And for you and for me and for all of us to be able to experience the power of God, He's going to call you and I out of our comfort zone. He's going to call you out of your boat. Maybe as you hear that story, you think Peter wasn't very wise. Why would he do that? Because he trusted Jesus. He trusted his leader, who was inviting him to the holy wild. No doubt those other 11 disciples that were in the boat after it was all said and done, and no doubt after they heard the conversation between Jesus and Peter, no doubt they were saying to themselves, I wished I would have had that courage. I wish I would have exhibited courage instead of allowing fear to choke me, to strangle me. And maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you've allowed fear to choke you, to strangle you, to paralyze you. And you've chosen to stay in the boat. You've chosen to stay in your comfort zone. And because of that, you're missing out on the very thing God has invited you to be a part of. We're in this series called Uncomfortable, From Status Quo to Status Go. And here's what we're learning, is that God wants to call you and out, you and I, out of the mundane, the borderland, as we referred it to the holy wild, and to be able to embrace what He has for you, the adventure, the life that He has for you. And Jesus has been doing this for 2,000 years. We've looked at this verse from Luke, and he records this. He says, if any of you wants to be my follower, this is Jesus talking, you must give up your own way. What's our way? Our way is to play it safe. Our way is to stay in the comfort zone. Our way is to let fear dictate what we do and what we don't do. He says, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. You see, Jesus calls you and I to follow him. We think that he calls us just to believe the right stuff and behave the right way. But that really doesn't make us followers of Jesus. What that sets us up to be is judges. And we will end up judging people. And Jesus wants you and I to follow him. And so he says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your own cross daily, and follow me. Last week we talked about following Jesus means living in community, bringing our real self to deal with real needs in the right way, for the right reason. And that's what he's called us to do, to live in community. But I would tell us today that he not only calls us to live in community, he calls us to serve one another in that community. and nothing will change your life quicker and faster than choosing to be a servant. Nothing will take you from status quo to status go like choosing to be a servant and serving other people. Now, there's many reasons why you and I want to stay in the boat, or why you and I want to stay in the comfort zone. You know, why would I choose to be a servant? I'll be taken advantage of. Why would I choose to be a servant? I'll be inconvenienced all the time. Why would I choose to be a servant? It'll bring so much uncertainty in my life. Why would I choose to be a servant? I'll lose control. And yet, when Jesus invites you and I to follow him, he calls you and I to live in community, but he calls you and I to serve one another. And nothing will bring you out of the status quo in your marriage, in your family, in your place of work, in your neighborhood, quicker and faster than serving other people. It's the fastest way to connect with somebody. It's the quickest way to gain influence in someone's life. But for you and I to choose to be a servant, we're going to have to leave our comfort zone. We're going to have to get out of the boat. Now, Jesus, though he invited people to come and follow him, and he said, you're going to have to give up your own way. You're going to have to take up your cross, and you're going to have to follow me. He had to deal with this over and over and over and over and over again, because there's something in you and there's something in me that wants to go back to the comfort zone. And so Jesus had to bring this up again and again. By the way, that's what leaders do. Leaders repeat themselves over and over and over and over and over again. And we see this in the life of Jesus. And he was the master teacher. He was the greatest leader that ever walked on planet Earth. And we see this happening in his life. Luke records this. And Jesus is coming to the end of his ministry. There's no more miracles. There's no more crowds. He's coming to the end, and he's gathered around those who have followed him. And they're here at the Last Supper. And Judas is there, who we will find out will betray him. Peter is there, who will end up denying him. And 11 others are there who will run when he needed their support the most. And I find this very interesting, because when you read the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of them kind of give you a different perspective. And this is the perspective that Luke gives us. And you have to remember that they're sitting there at the table, the upper room, okay? And here's what he records. Then they begin to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. Can you imagine that? This was at a church service. This was at a Passover. They were breaking the bread and they were drinking the wine. And in the midst of this, broke out an argument over who was going to be the greatest. And I'm sure Jesus was saying, haven't we gone there before? But they want to go back to their comfort zone. And so Luke continues and says this, Jesus told them, in this world, the kings and the great men lord it over their people. It means that they're positional conscious. They want to make sure that they're comfortable. They want to make sure that they don't get taken advantage of. They want to make sure that they're not inconvenienced. So they lord it over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. Jesus goes on and says this, but among you it will be different. They're going to stay in their comfort zone. They're going to be self-protective. They're going to look for what is best for them. But among you guys, it's going to be different. I'm calling you out of your comfort zone. I'm calling you to embrace the holy wild. And Luke goes on and says, those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank. They should be the most uncomfortable. And the leader should be like a servant. Wow. Goes on to say this. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, a course. Wow. And then he says these powerful words. He says, but not here. Not if you're going to follow me. If you're going to follow me, you must give up your own way. If you're going to follow me, you must take your cross daily. He says, not here, for I am among you as one who serves. Wow. Now, here's what you need to understand. This wasn't the first time that Jesus talked about this. This had been an ongoing conversation because Matthew records a conversation that Jesus had with the disciples because, ready for this? A parent got involved. Because a parent wanted their kids to be comfortable. A parent wanted their kids to have the easiest route. And so the mother of Zebedee's sons said to Jesus, hey, you know what? I'm going to ask a big favor of you. Would you let my two boys sit on your right side and your left side? Would you make it comfortable for them so that mom can rest, that they're not going to be taken advantage of and they're not going to be inconvenienced and they won't have a lack of sense of control and they won't have to deal with uncertainty because they will be large and in charge and everybody else will have to listen to them? Jesus comes back. And here's what he says. He says, not so with you. Not so with you. Not if you're following me. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Wow. Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow me, that means anyone. You know what? You have to give up your way. You have to leave the comfort zone. You have to embrace the holy wild. You have to take the risk. And if you really want to be great, you got to choose to be a servant. Now, here's the great news for all of us, Mom. Okay? You want your kids to be great? They can be. Teach them to be servants. You want to be a great husband? You want to be a great father? You want to be a great leader? Be a servant. You want to be a great wife? You want to be a great mother? You want to be a great leader? Choose to be a servant. That so goes against our thinking. Because that makes us uncomfortable. Serve? I'm going to be taken advantage of. Serve? I'm going to be inconvenienced. Serve? That brings a little bit of uncertainty. And so we have Luke telling us that they're in this argument at the dinner table. Can you believe that? And John then gives us a whole new picture of what happens because this argument is going on. And I think Jesus is just sitting there watching this played out, thinking, you know what, fellas? We've gone over this again and again and again. And I've shared with you that if you want to be great, you got to serve. And so John gives us even more of the story. And here's what he writes. The evening meal was in progress. Boy, was it ever in progress, because Luke says they were in a fight. They were in an argument. And the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Jesus knew who he was. He knew who he was. He was comfortable in his own skin. He didn't have to hold to a title or to a position. He was free. And here he could do anything that he wanted because the Father had given him everything. All things were under his power, but he chose to serve. Look what he goes on to say. So, in light of that all things were under his power, in light of the fact that he knew where he came from, he knew where he was going, he had extreme clarity, it says, so, in light of that, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. The awkwardness had to go through the roof. They were arguing about who was the greatest. They knew who the greatest was. It was Jesus. They had walked with him for 3 years. The problem was they didn't want to be the least. It says, after that, he, Jesus, poured the water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Then he asked this powerful question. I want you to get this. He says, do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. Do you understand what's going on in light of your argument? You're going at each other's throats. You're trying to determine who's the greatest. Do you understand what I just did? He says, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. You say I am Lord, that all things are under my control, that I'm the master, I'm the teacher. You got that right. That's who I am. Do you understand what I just did, though? The one who had all power? He goes on. And he says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. He says, I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. And here's what we have to understand, folks, okay? The example we are to follow is not washing of feet. It's this humility. I realize that some churches practice washing feet. That's easy. That's just an act of service. Grin and bear it. But he is saying here, what you are to follow is the humility that he brought. You see, listen to me. There was a traitor among them. He washed his feet. There was one who was going to deny him. He washed his feet. There were those who he was counting on to support him, and they forsook him. He washed their feet. He chose to serve. He chose to serve. He says, it's going to be different among you. We're not going to stay in our comfort zone. We're not going to be self-protective. We're not going to be worried about being taken advantage of or being inconvenienced or not having control. You see, God created you to serve. God created me to serve. He created us to do good works. Listen to me. He didn't create you to have a bucket list. There's nothing wrong with a bucket list. But the fact of the matter is we hear about a bucket list. I got this bucket list of what I'd like to do in life. I'd like to have this experience. I want it to be an exhilarating experience. I want to be able to tell everybody, did you hear what I experienced? Did you hear where I went? I just checked off another list on the bucket. You know what he wants? He wants you and I to have a list of who we've served. Y'all okay? Hello? That's what he wants. He wants you and I to have that list of saying, hey, I am a servant. Jesus wraps up his little talk with them and he said this, now that you know these things, you will be blessed. You will be envied. Ready for this? You will be happy if you do them. You want to shake depression off of your life? You want to shake discouragement off of your life? You want to shake defeat off of your life? Then begin to be a servant. Start being other-focused. You want to have a marriage that other people envy? Serve one another. You want to have a family that other people envy? Then serve one another. You want to have a workplace that other people envy? Then serve one another. But what happens so often is we're so afraid we're going to be taken advantage of or somebody's going to get ahead of us. And so what happens is we pull back and we remain in our comfort zone. And we don't embrace the holy wild. And so you want to be happy? Serve. Anybody can be great. Because everybody can serve. See, an easy way to tell if you have a servant's heart is how you act when you're treated like a servant. Y'all okay? Come on. Y'all okay? See, I have to confess. I don't mind taking out the trash at home. I hate being told to take out the trash. I don't mind emptying the dishwasher. You know, I walk by there, open it up, and I see that the dishes are in there, and I think, well, you know what? I should just do this. I hate being told that the dishwasher needs to be emptied. You know why? Because there's self-centeredness in me. Truth be known, I don't like being a servant. How about you? I don't like that. And so maybe you're like me. We need to work on our mindset. We need to have Jesus' mindset. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And Paul talks about it. Because Paul heard this story about the upper room from John and probably Luke and probably what Jesus did. Did you hear what Jesus did? It was incredible. We all dropped our head. The awkwardness went through the roof. He took the basin and he took the towel and he wrapped it around himself and he washed our feet, and we didn't even know this, but just in a few hours, he was going to hang on a cross. And even in the midst of that turmoil, you know what? His focus wasn't on himself. His focus was on us. And so when Paul had the chance, and you can read it all throughout his letters, he brought people back to Jesus' mindset. And here's what he has to say. He writes this in Philippians chapter 2, he says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Because it takes a mindset. Because most of our mindset is to play it safe. Most of our mindset is to make sure we don't get taken advantage of. Most of our mindset is to make sure we don't get inconvenienced. Most of our mindset is to make sure that we're in control and that we feel safe. And yet Paul was writing to the church. He said, listen, you want thriving, contagious, healthy, happy relationships? then you got to get Jesus's mindset. And so he says, in your relationships with one another, as husband and wife, as father, son, mother, daughter, daughter, mother, father, son, son, father, co-worker and co-worker, boss and employee, employee and boss, leader and team, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And then he describes what happened in the upper room. Here's what he says. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. See, you know what Jesus could have done? Hey, cut out the argument. Let me just let everybody know here, I'm the greatest. You shouldn't even be talking that way. But he wasn't grabbing for his rights. He wasn't looking how he could take advantage of his position and his power. No, goes on to say this. Rather, big contrast. Rather than playing it safe, rather than remaining in the comfort zone, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He became a servant. See, listen to me. I'm calling all of us to leave the comfort zone and choose to be a servant, not choose to serve. We all serve in one way or another, and we choose when we want to serve and when we don't. When I want to take out the trash and when I don't want to take out the trash. When I want to empty the dishwasher and when I don't want to empty the dishwasher. That's not a servant. Y'all okay? A servant doesn't have a play in the matter. A servant just does what he or she is told to do. And realize that after they do it, they've only done what a servant does. And so we see here with Paul, Jesus' mindset. And there's three things that you and I must have if we're going to leave the comfort zone. Because these three things will keep you and I in the comfort zone. And these three things allowed Jesus to do what others were not willing to do. And here's the first one. Jesus had nothing to prove. He had a deep sense of security. He knew who he was. He knew that the Father had placed all things underneath him. He wasn't grabbing for anything. He had a sense of security. He wasn't trying to prove himself. All the disciples were trying to prove themselves of who was the greatest. Jesus said, I don't have to prove it. I know who I am. He had nothing to lose. He had nothing to lose. What did he have to lose? He had been given everything by the Father. And so his position was one of surrender. He said, I don't have anything to lose by that. Listen to me. What I do does not define who I am. See, that's the problem with many of us. We think that what we do defines who we are. That's why, what do you do for a living? Not so with Jesus. He had nothing to lose because he had surrendered himself and he had nothing to hide. You know why? Because of integrity. Because of integrity. And so listen to me. When you and I are in a place of where we have nothing to prove, nothing to lose, and nothing to hide, you know what? Now we're in a place to be a servant. Because the reason why we don't take on servanthood is because we do have something to prove. We feel we do have something to lose. And we do have something to hide, our weaknesses. So Paul would say, you have to take on the mindset of Jesus. And just like Jesus, Paul made this a theme through all of his writings. And so he writes to the church in Galatia about this whole thing that you have nothing to prove, you have nothing to lose, you have nothing to hide. And he's writing to a group of Jews who basically were under rules, which made them feel safe. It played them safe. You know, I know when I do wrong and I know when I do right. And he writes these incredible words for us here today. And here's what he says. He says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Wow. You know what he's saying? He is saying, you know what? You've been set free. You're called to live in freedom. You're not under rules and rituals and regulations anymore. You have been called to live in freedom. And he goes on to say, but, okay, love those buts, huh? But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Wow, what's he saying? He was saying you're free, but don't use your freedom to stay in the comfort zone. What he is saying is, God doesn't love you because of what you do and what you don't do. God just now loves you. You don't have to perform before God. But don't let that freedom allow you to play it safe. Don't let that freedom keep you in the comfort zone. Don't allow that because it won't serve you well. If you indulge in your flesh, it will wreck your marriage. It will wreck your family. It will wreck your workplace. It will wreck your life. Embrace the holy wild. Live in the freedom of saying, God, I'll follow you. I'll do what you ask me to do, not to get you to love me, but to honor you and to serve you. He goes on to say this, rather serve one another humbly in love. Wow. Don't indulge in the flesh. Don't stay in the boat. Don't stay in your comfort zone. Rather, serve one another humbly. Listen to me. Apart from humility, you will never serve anyone. You will manipulate people. You will serve people for your own benefit, not their benefit. You see, there's two things about servanthood. Servanthood isn't about helping other people. And servanthood isn't about fixing people. You see, listen, when you and I help people, a debt is incurred. Right? When you help someone, they owe you something. You got it. I can't believe it. I helped them move, and they never even sent me a thank you note. Can I help you? You're not a servant. See, helping people incurs a debt. You're expecting a payback. And much of what we call servanthood is really nothing but helping other people, keeping score, wanting something in return. I am a person who's serving someone, expecting something back. Real servanthood is I am serving them and you don't owe me anything. And I just have this feeling of satisfaction. Now, if you do these things, you will be blessed. You'll be happy. And it's not fixing. When I fix a person, I perceive them as being broken. And so I approach them with a judgmental attitude. And I approach them with some strings attached. But when I serve and when I love them, what happens is I see them as a whole person. That's what Jesus did in the upper room. He wasn't trying to help anybody. He wasn't trying to fix anybody. He did it out of a heart of love. And that's what's called for you and me as well. And so what happens is Paul would say this. Paul would go on to say, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. See, they were people who knew about the law, but he said, you've been set free from the law. But he said, if you really want to keep the law, it's all fulfilled in this one thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the way in which we love our neighbor is by serving our neighbor. And then he goes on to say this, if you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. He says, you know what? If you're just devouring a dogfight with one another, guess what? You're going to devour. You'll destroy your marriage. You'll destroy your workplace. You'll destroy your family. And so Paul wraps up with this. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If you and I follow Jesus and not our own way, we will not follow the desires of our flesh. You see, here's what we need to understand. Only absolute humility can generate absolute love. I want you to listen to this story here, because this is what happened in a family's life. And they started serving, and it transformed them and another family.
Last summer, about this time, we went on a family vacation. And, you know, we went to a really nice place in Belize. And we had been there 25 years ago when the island was just like sandy roads and everything. So it was kind of neat to see the changes. We connected while we were there with our dive master. Our whole family connected with him. His name is Palma. And when we left, I kept saying there's got to be more to this island than just where we were, because we were kind of far away from the town. So I came home and started researching on Google. And the first thing that came up was San Pedro Belize, the little town that we were in. So I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a sign. There's something happening here. And it was it was called Believers World Outreach. And I wasn't sure, is this a legit, company or, place to go? And they do missions trips all over the world. They've gone to Belize the past 9 years. So I decided we really need to do this. Well, then I had to really convince our family that this was something that we needed to do.
I called a family meeting to see what was on Carrie's heart. And she explained to us that this is tugging at her heart very hard, and she wanted us to be on board. So she told us we're going on a mission trip, and of course we bought into it. And
so the nice thing is I knew that we had Palma, our dive master, there. We had him, so we continued communicating with him, and we said, hey, flights are much cheaper a day early. If we come a day early, can we take you out to dinner and meet your family? And so that is what we did. We met the four of them, and all of a sudden we were like, it was just that instant connection. I mean, God really knew what he was doing. He put us all together for a reason. So I knew that the one lady there had lost her daughter a year prior, and she was starting a foundation called Gabrielle's Wings. So the two of us connected, and I said, I really want to go back and help you start this. Through our family there, Palma and Ayani and Alina and Eddie, they know everybody on the island, so they were able to connect us with the right people, and we were able to get things started. So after all of the mission trips and all for Gabrielle's Wings and Believers World Outreach that we have gone back to Belize, this is very incredible, because this is the Palma family. I mean, who thought what a difference a year can make? I mean, this is Palma and Ayani and their daughter Alina and Eddie. And it's crazy to think that now they are out of their comfort zone here in the United States, in our little town of New Philadelphia, Ohio. So it's crazy to think that now they're here, but everything is so comfortable around us. And not that we want everything this world to be comfortable, but it's nice to know that somebody clear across the world that we can be that comfortable with, and that we call them our family.
With the experience we have had with our new family, Carrie and other kids, Eric, we literally have been, we were close to God, but now we're closer to God than never before. And that was just a wonderful experience, seeing my wife every night, getting in contact with Carrie through WhatsApp, and they go to the book, and every night she takes about half an hour, sometimes an hour, going through one chapter. That makes me happy, because it's never happened before. So we feel that we're more connected to God because of Carrie and her family, and we have a big family now, a family of eight.
But what is happening is God is working in our life, and people are seeing it. And people are noticing it, and they're noticing it in all eight of our lives. Yeah. Even the kids who are kind of like, what are we doing? But God is using us, and people are noticing. So, and it, again, it's not about us. It's about how God is using us.
And so what do you have? You have Jesus in a room. He saw a need, and he met it. That's servanthood. Carrie and her family saw a need, took the steps to start meeting that. You see, servanthood is a decision. It's not a feeling. And Paul says that you and I have been set free. So the moment that you accepted Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, you now have the power to say yes, and you now have the power to say no. Serving is not a feeling. If you wait until you feel like serving, you may never serve. Serving is a decision. It's seeing a need and meeting that need. And when you do that, your life will never be the same. Jesus said it like this: a new command I give to you, that you love one another, that you serve one another. As I have served you, as I have loved you, so you must love, so you must serve one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you serve one another. And here's what I want to leave you with. While we may be criticized for what we believe, we should be famous for our compassion and our generosity, because we serve. For among you and among me, it will be different. We will serve. Where is it that you've been waiting for a feeling to serve? You'll never do it. When is it you're going to have time to serve? You'll never serve. Serve is a decision. It's to leave the comfort zone. It's to embrace the holy wild. Your life will never, ever be the same. You will experience the power of God. I invite you to be different. Pray with me. So, Father, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you that you took on the form of a human being, and you took on the very nature of a servant, and you served. You were taken advantage of. You were inconvenienced. You gave up control. But oh, did you make an impact, one that we will never forget. And you've called us to take your example, your spirit of humility, and to serve those, even though we will be betrayed, even though people will deny us, even though people will run from us, like they did you. You've called us to serve, and may we do that in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/contact. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, download our app, or subscribe to our weekly podcast through the App Store or Google Play. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.